Welcome to Living Water Radio. Many people, and most Christians, know John 3:16 by heart. They know the text, but they often don't know its context, so they look for a pretext, an excuse. Today, we're going to find out why a Lenten focus makes that totally unnecessary. My name is Pastor David Birkadahl. My wife, Reverend Sally Welch, is co-producing this podcast. Sally is an ordained minister actively focusing on ecumenical and interfaith ministry. I served Lutheran Christian congregations in Compton, California, and in San Dimas, California, for over 40 years. Today, I'm filling in temporarily for pastors in the Los Angeles area. Maintaining our yard is my gym, and I'm attempting to learn Mandarin Chinese. We are retired clergy and have over 80 years of ordained ministry experience between the two of us. Check out our first Living Water Radio podcast, number 0, Welcome and Introduction, for more information about us and this podcast. You might remember Derek Fisher of the Los Angeles Lakers during the era of Kobe and Shaq. Derek Fisher was my favorite Laker. He wasn't flashy, he wasn't a superstar. His name wasn't synonymous with the franchise. He was just the guy you called in whenever you wanted to get the job done. In other words, he was the most Lutheran of all the Lakers. I once shared that observation in a sermon. A man who had been coming to worship with his wife, but who wasn't a member of the congregation, later attended our pre-membership classes and became a member. He became a part of a stewardship effort and gave a stewardship talk during worship. He said, "I used to come to worship regularly with my wife, but I wasn't a member. One Sunday, I heard the pastor talk about Derek Fisher, and I realized that I have been a Lutheran all my life and didn't know it." The name Nicodemus may be somewhat familiar to most Christians, but he is not at the center of any of the Gospels. He's not flashy, he's not a superstar in the history of salvation, but his encounter with Jesus includes such a powerful presentation of the Gospel that over 1,500 years later, church reformer Martin Luther would call it the Gospel in miniature. This Sunday, the gospel text being read in the vast majority of churches in the world will be John 3:14 through 21, and it will contain that verse. It's the one that, if you know one Bible verse by heart, that's probably the one you know. And you probably know its chapter and verse, too, John 3:16. But what you may not know is its context, or the reason it was said by Jesus. The reading starts in the middle of a conversation. The preceding verses tell us that Nicodemus was a Pharisee and a leader of the Jews. He appears only in the Gospel of John, and just two more times outside of these verses, once to appeal for due process for Jesus, and again to help prepare Jesus' body for burial. Nicodemus was a distinguished and respected religious leader, while Jesus was a poor, itinerant teacher, a miracle worker who some were saying was the one, the Messiah who the Jews had been waiting for 1,000 years. Nicodemus was drawn to him, but Nicodemus also had a reputation to protect. So he came to talk with Jesus at night. Yes, Nick at night, because he had questions. There's been heavy snow in the mountains and foothills. Some places in the Sierras got 10 feet last week. We got snow in the foothills near us, too, and the snow level is supposed to come down even further with more snow today. We're looking forward to when these clouds lift and we can see the spectacular mountain views that have been hidden. There are times in life, too, when the clouds lift and we see things as they are. Nicodemus had that experience. Have you ever seen any of the Back to the Future movies? O'Reilly Auto Parts sells, well, auto parts. If you go to their website, O'ReillyAuto.com, and search for 121G, you will be taken to a page with a picture of a flux capacitor and this. Detailed description. Time travel at your own risk. Plutonium is required to properly operate the flux capacitor. Plutonium is used by the onboard nuclear reactor, which then powers the flux capacitor to provide the needed 1.21 gigawatts of electrical power. Plutonium not available at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Please contact your local plutonium supplier. Flux capacitor requires the stainless steel body of a 1981 to 1983 DeLorean DMC-12 to properly function. Once the time machine travels at 88 miles per hour, 142 kilometers per hour, light coming from the flux capacitor pulses until it becomes a steady stream of light, at which point time travel begins. Oh, the page also says at the top, this item is not available for purchase. It's kind of funny because we know it's not real. That's what Nicodemus wanted to know about Jesus. Is Jesus the Messiah or some kind of joke? Is he real or is he the one? But he's not sure, so he starts by paying Jesus a compliment without going too far. This is his pretext or excuse for being there. He addresses Jesus as Rabbi, which means teacher. He recognizes Jesus as a teacher who comes from God because of the signs he has done, which require the power of God. Jesus' miracles are often referred to as signs. Do you know what a sign is? It's something that points to something else. In this case, Nicodemus thinks it is to God. But Nicodemus bases his respect for Jesus on what Jesus has done, not on who he is, fully God and fully human being. Jesus rejects that explanation and takes the conversation in a totally different direction. He tells Nicodemus that no one can see the circumstances in which God reigns without being born from above, or in some translations, born again or born anew. Nicodemus asks, how can anyone be born after growing old, with an image that I think must be a horror show to any mother? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus describes the necessity of birth, but in terms of the transformational relationship with the one true living God for which we were created that comes from the gift of faith. Being born from above, or born again, or born anew, is being born of the Spirit. It is the new birth that comes from God. Confused? So was Nicodemus. Jesus now gets to his main point. He speaks of the people of Israel who had been wandering in the wilderness after their liberation from God from Egypt, had been experiencing a plague of poisonous snakes and were being bitten, and many died as a consequence of their rebellion against God, and then they repented. God told Moses to make a serpent out of bronze and fasten it to the top of a pole. The serpent was lifted up on the pole, and everyone who looked at it was healed, in Numbers 21:4-9, the first reading for this coming Sunday. And that's the context of this coming Sunday's gospel text. It starts like this, with Jesus continuing his conversation with Nicodemus in John 3:14-16. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. In the same way, Jesus said, he, the Son of Man, must be lifted up. Healing hadn't come to the children of Israel because they had been good. Healing came because the people had repented and trusted God, and God was merciful to his rebellious people. Jesus would be lifted up in the same way, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Keeping the law now becomes God's gift of grace on the cross. A symbol of death now becomes a symbol of our ultimate healing. Why? Because our sin broke us. It separated us from the living relationship with the one true living God for which we were created, and which God came to die for us on a cross to restore. John 3:16 is printed on the bottom rim of In-N-Out drink cups. You can sometimes see John 3:16 on posters held up by fans at sports events and on the faces of athletes, or just 3:16. Fun fact, if you read the third chapter, the 16th verse of every book of the Bible, you get a pretty deep expression of the good news of Jesus Christ. John 3:16 is the gospel, the good news in miniature, but the focus of John 3:16 is on the what God did. The why part is given in the next verse, John 3:17. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. They say that guilt is a gift that keeps on giving. But the gospel reminds us that Jesus did not come to condemn the world. Jesus came so that the world might be saved from the sin that separates us from God. Our sin condemns us. Jesus saves us. The text concludes in John 3:18 through 21. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light, and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. Light overcomes darkness. You can't shine darkness into something. That's why we don't hide our sins. We bring them to Jesus. One of the guys in a congregation I served who owned a business told me about a little old lady who came in one day. She mentioned that she had a refrigerator she didn't need and had had someone move it out to the curb with a sign on it that said "Free Refrigerator," where it had sat for days. One of the man's employees was going to deliver some samples to the woman's home, and he said that he'd take care of it. When he got to the house, he posted a new sign that said, "Refrigerator, $100. That night, somebody stole it. That's the evil of the human heart. God's desire is that the world might be saved anyway through Jesus. Why don't more people see God at work in their lives and listen to him? I'm reminded of the guy who was sitting in his home one day when a Red Cross worker pounded on his door yelling, "The dam has broken. Get out now. We'll help you." The man replied, "Oh, thank you very much, but I'm a Christian. I know that God will take care of me. I'll be fine." And the Red Cross worker finally left and went on to the next house. The waters came and flooded the first floor of his house so that he had to move up to the second floor. A guy in a rowboat came by and said, "Hop in, buddy. I'll get you out of here." "Oh, thank you," the man said, "but I am a Christian. I know that God won't let anything harm me." The man in the rowboat finally left and went on to the other houses. The waters continued to rise, and the man had to crawl out onto his roof. A helicopter flew over, and the crew spotted the man. They dropped a rope ladder and shouted, "Climb up, and we'll get you out of here. The waters are rising. This is your last chance." "Thanks for coming, but I'll be fine. My faith is strong. I know God will take care of me," the man shouted. The waters kept rising, and pretty soon they rose over the house and over the man, and he drowned. When he arrived at the gates of heaven, dripping wet, he immediately demanded to be taken to the throne of grace. "It's kind of an unusual request, but okay," St. Peter said. The man stomped through the throne room into God's presence and whined, "You promised me. You said that you would always be with me no matter what. What happened?" "What do you mean?" God said. "I sent you a Red Cross worker, a rowboat, and a helicopter." Maybe you are struggling with belief, or you want to believe but you are not sure, or you know someone who is. Nicodemus was searching for Jesus. He had questions. He came to Jesus in the darkness, and the light of the world was revealed to him. He learned the essential meaning of the gospel, that God comes to us. He doesn't wait for us to get our lives together. He doesn't wait for us to understand everything. He comes to save us. He comes in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the answer. Everything in the Bible points to Jesus. It is filled by the Holy Spirit. And when we read the Bible, it is the same Holy Spirit that reveals him in a personal, living encounter with God. He has come in the most unexpected way possible to save us by suffering and dying on a cross. And he is present for us today. We just open our hearts to receive him. We have the Bible's text. We don't need any pretext, any excuse. We have been given an encounter with the living God. We don't need any excuse, and we have none anyway. We don't need any excuse because we have a Savior. We have been died for. We die to sin and rise to new life every day. We don't need to justify ourselves. We just live naturally in response to the grace that has given us a new birth. Let that be our focus this Lent. Today, let's remember to pray the Lord's Prayer, the one that Jesus taught us. If you don't know what that is, contact us at therevsdavidandsally@gmail.com or send us a tweet to @DavidBurkadahl and we'll send it to you. Send your prayer requests to either of the same addresses and we'll include them next time. Send your comments, questions, and concerns there as well, and we'll respond to every one. As always, we encourage you to stay hydrated, to open your heart to receive the living water from the source, God's self, the living presence of the one true living God, the God who gave himself on the cross so that all who believe and are baptized might be restored to the living relationship with God for which we were created. Remember your church. Identify one if you don't already have one. Pray about it and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. Ask a friend about it or a family member. Google it. Contact the pastor. When you have a church, go to or tune into the worship services they have available and support your church with your time, your treasure, and your talent. Pray for and support your pastor and church leaders as they seek to do God's will for your congregation. If you are having thoughts of suicide or are struggling with mental health issues, call somebody. Contact a friend or a relative. Google a local or national hotline. Reach out. There are people around you who will walk with you through this dark time into the light. You are not alone. Wear a mask when you're outside your home. Practice social distancing. Wash or sanitize your hands regularly. Avoid crowds if you can, and be outside if you have to be in a crowd. But most importantly, get your vaccines and boosters. It's the one thing you can do to literally save lives and get us back on track. Be kind to everyone you come into contact with. Everyone you meet today struggles in some way. Be a helper and encourager. Thank you for listening to Living Water Radio. We are here for Christians and for the people of the Los Angeles metropolitan area who are looking for a sense of Christian community, a source of hope, and a way to thrive together as we move into the new normal. We hope you'll tune in next time and invite your friends to do the same. Meanwhile, Sally and I encourage you to open your hearts to receive living water, the presence of the Holy Spirit, and stay hydrated.